listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
These preserved lands. Winters could have built his cabin on that. I mean, how much pull has he got in the government?
Sweet. Nice. Thanks. I get the exclusive rights to your guys' story.
I have yet to check my dam.
If he doesn't take it on step one, what's step two? If he doesn't bite on step two, what's step three?
No, cut this all out. Make us sound like we were smart.
Absolutely the fuck not.
We know where RJ's at.
I know where RJ is. I heard something about it. He has a place that he wants to meet.
You're going to take down our only avenue? Came down to this guy pulling a gun on McAllister.
See you when the time comes, won't we?
Yeah.
We were, like, shivering.
There was, like, less furniture down here, so, like, it was much, much colder. Like, there was nothing to kind of insulate it. There was nothing on the walls. It was just, you know, bare fucking concrete, and it was freezing. You could see your own breath down here.
Good times.
How I wish I could return.
For real, dude. Good times.
You ever think about that?
All the time.
That, like, those days will never come back. Like, Just being able to just fuck around and just, like, get drunk, hang out with your friends. I don't know if you guys experienced that, but we would do that every single night because we all worked at the same pizza place. And we would all just get off shift, come here, just get shit-faced, play, like, Crash Bandicoot and Skate 3 and darts and ping pong and just hang out.
Yeah, dude. The good old fucking
life got
days.
Life got complicated.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it sucks. I hate it.
Now I gotta do fucking expense reports and shit.
It's the fact that everybody has to get up early now. I gotta get up early. I can never hang out. Just like back then, the earliest any of us got up would be like noon.
Yeah, dude.
And it was just like ever.
The earliest I would have to get up would be noon on Sunday. And
yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
Like, cause fucking we worked at like 4:30 to 9, 4:30 to 10. Like,
that was
that's
so
what
nice.
We did. Like,
we made good money. Like, that wasn't like
fine money.
That
just,
wasn't
like wasn't
bad
taxed.
It was like 17, 18 an hour on average, which is like not bad.
Yeah, it was good. It was like good, especially for like 15 hours a week.
Yeah, you're only
and
working
then,
like 3 days a week.
We would just bowl down here 24/7.
Look, there's a picture right back there. Is all of us at Anthony's. It's Will, me, DJ, Nick, and Pino.
The good old
all working
days.
At all working at Anthony's.
Whoa, was that
and insane? All the fucking decor like from down here is like from those days too.
Yeah.
Like if you like look on the walls,
it would
the
just be
H
like
painting.
Someone would just show up
paintings.
And like buy something. Like we would go to Goodwill and just like buy like that fucking painting of the groomer. Look at the groomer back there.
That's a weird picture.
Yeah. He's grooming.
I never noticed it. I've been looking at it for years.
Right next to the Hatsune Miku poster. Yeah. I mean, it was good times, man.
Nick got that Nick ass.
There's all shit written on
like
the
walls.
Like,
all the written shit is from, like, fucking 6 days, or 6 days, 6 years ago.
Yeah. Good times.
Did I just say anal?
Probably.
Could I get a recap of the last session?
So Mike came back after we hung out at the house for about an hour. So it was a little over an hour, and we started to panic a little bit. Mike shows up, willing to help as long as he becomes the only journalist that owns this story.
What did he do in those 1 hour and 15 minutes?
No idea. He didn't really say.
We didn't ask.
Something to give him more interest than he originally had in LaRock.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. He made it a point to, kind of take notice of him when he had been there before.
He has not entered this home yet. You guys kept him on the front porch.
Oh, we did keep him on the porch. Fuck.
Promotions.
Yeah, but this dude, now that I think about it, is a slimy fuck, and I could totally see him fucking setting us up right now.
In what way? Like, what do you think he'd be doing to set us up? Like, would he have called Winters?
Luring us out.
We're already out, though. I don't know. Like, I think that there's no way that they haven't figured out Ray's address.
You don't think? Why would they be onto us right now?
They know everyone's address.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think they know all of our addresses.
They know everything.
I think if they wanted to show up at our houses, I mean, they've been to Linwood. You said RJ at the presser. I mean, yeah, they've been in Linwood, what? 4 times this last week. They were here to nab RJ. They were looking for the coffin. They did something yesterday. And they drove... what's his face back? Weiss.
Right.
We also got the name of the rat.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to talk about that.
The
oh, yeah.
Day shift guy.
Fucking rat. The
VCU day shift guy.
Piece of shit.
Right, the... fuck,
what was his name?
Pussy.
Did anybody write it down?
Pussy.
Oh, was it Pussy?
Yeah, he's a Pussy.
It was Roy's previous partner.
Right.
Fuck that.
Pussy.
Did you guys have a falling out?
You know. It's history. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't hit it right.
That's just ancient history.
He didn't hit it right?
He didn't hit it right. No. Not even close.
Yeah.
Caleb's rocking your shit. Good.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up shit, to be honest with him.
What was his name?
It's your backstory. You gave it to me.
Yeah. Oh, you wrote the name.
I did.
Mark Cannon.
Yes, Mark Cannon.
That was his name.
Mark.
That you came up with.
Mark Cannon.
Mark Cannon.
Bananas.
Barry McCockiner.
I'm going to kill that motherfucker.
And you know what's crazy is I know one of the things that you like about tabletop is when you write a backstory and I pull from characters in it. And when I do that, you don't even fucking remember his name.
Fuck, man. I know. Oh, I fumbled right there.
So, with Roy McNeil, Caleb O'Connor, and Jerry Flores making their way to the police station and Ray Hoyt sitting inside of his trailer waiting for Aaron Lang to swap for babysitting duties, the three of you, in separate cars, eventually make your way to the police station. Everything outside looks copacetic. What do you guys do?
I put it in park. Open up the car.
I stop driving.
Yeah, walk in. Yeah, who's at the desk?
Step inside. The person at the desk is actually Dwayne Gaines. Gaines is behind the desk. He looks up as you guys step in. Kind of like an interesting expression, but looks at you guys. Hey.
What's up, Gaines? How's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Gives you a nod.
Hi, and
weird expression on his face.
Yeah. I know, because we're not supposed to be here right now.
Like, no, I mean, it's the last time we saw him. He was part of the Minneapolis murder debacle, right?
The Fat Force, as it was?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Gaines, is the van still here?
Yeah, we got two of them.
Yeah? All right, sweet. Thanks, Gaines.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk, grab the keys, mm-hmm. wherever they're hanging.
Yep.
And go check out the van.
Yeah, so and you would know, there's one in the garage where you guys put the coffin, and then one out back.
Okay. Yeah, just walk straight to the garage.
Mm-hmm. Step into the garage. The van's there, parked. Tools all kind of strewn about. This is the spot, like I mentioned, that if you pull a car in, if it needs, like, crime scene analysis, this is kind of where they do it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Coffin's still there?
Nope. Look over to see a tarp laying on the ground where the coffin was.
Do you have to have keys to access this?
Yes.
Area?
Yep. There is a front garage, like a big garage door that you kind of got to pull up. There's a side door that exits out the back, and then there's the door that connects to the police station, the actual station. So, 3 ways of entry into this area.
Any of these doors look busted?
Step over to the door that connects to the garage leading out back. The lock is broken.
The garage lock is broken?
Door. Not the shutter door, but right. The door, like a door leading out back.
Does the shutter door have a lock on it?
Yes. Padlocked from the inside.
Would the coffin fit through this door?
Interestingly enough, if you take a look at it, it looks like yes, but thinking in your head the dimensions of the coffin, it would probably have to be twisted to its side.
And this is a heavy-ass coffin, right?
No.
It wasn't heavy?
Not particularly heavy. Put it at maybe 200-300 pounds. Two people to carry, at least. Team lift, but the coffin is gone.
Is this monitored at all? Like, would this be a task that I could see happening? Like, would it make sense that this could happen?
There's not a person regularly posted here. There are checks that happen. Like, people sweep the police station, but it happens at noon every day.
So, and it's like 1:30?
Yeah.
So, an hour and a half ago this happened?
Yes.
Okay, so...
An hour and a half ago, a check was performed.
Is there, like, a log? Can I get a name?
Yeah, you go back to Gaines, and he kind of looks up at you. What's up?
Gaines, who inspected the garage today?
Me, yeah. The back lock looked busted.
Coffin's gone?
Coffin?
Come on. And I nod, and I lead him into the garage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I show the tarp that is still there where the coffin was. Maybe he didn't see it, but... I say, like, you didn't see the coffin on top of the tarp?
No, nothing there.
Okay, so it was just the tarp when you checked.
Yeah. I guess we got to get the lock replaced or something.
Who did the check before that 12 hours ago?
You go through?
Yeah.
Do you ask Gaines or do you go through?
Ask Gaines if he knows. Who did that check?
Well, 24 hours ago, we do it once at noon. It was Nate Merritt.
Nate Merritt, you didn't hear anything about... He didn't say anything about the lock being busted?
No, he's on shift if you want to ask him.
Could you go ask him?
Sure, yeah.
If that lock was busted?
He steps back.
I mean, I think it solves a little bit of a mystery.
What?
What Wednesday swaps was.
We got a motherfucker I look around, make sure. We got a motherfucker vanishing out of a detective's house. And now this coffin is magically fucking gone. And this garage has been magically fucking broken into.
I mean, it's just a lot. It's just a padlock. It seems doable. But that's the thing. RJ said it. They spread us thin. Maybe it's going to come back. This guy, we had him out searching somewhere and he didn't do his check.
But what the fuck do they need the coffin for?
That's the thing. I think, I hate to say it, but this might be the only time we've gotten lucky so far. It seems like Winters wanted this to get what was inside of it, and we already got what was inside of it.
Gaines and who you recognize as Nate Merritt step in. Merritt looks towards Roy. Sergeant?
We're like in the garage?
Yeah.
Merritt. Is this the scene that you saw yesterday when you gave this your inspection?
I was on inspection duty.
All right, I walk over to the broken padlock.
Yeah.
Was this padlock in this condition yesterday?
Sergeant, I will accept anything coming my way, but I was unable to perform the inspection. I was posted out.
Yeah.
It completely slipped my mind. I should have known better, but...
All right, Nate.
I'm sorry.
Were you at the trailer park?
Yeah.
Okay. Gaines, did you do the inspection the day before that?
No, I did it this morning at noon.
Okay. Who did it the day before that?
Day before that, I wouldn't have been in here.
All right. Thanks, Nate. Thanks, Gaines.
Mm-hmm. Gaines walks out. Merritt stays in. Sorry, if it's a problem, if I can fix it, just let me know. And then he scurries off.
padlock look like it was bashed or cut?
Not a padlock, a door with a lock.
Oh, okay.
And the lock is destroyed.
Yes.
Okay.
Boot prints and it kicked in.
Roll search or forensics.
Can I help him?
Yep.
All right.
48 on a 50. I rolled search.
I failed. 75 on a 61.
Caleb, what you're able to deduce, for sure, it was broken from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
Just based off of, like, the bend patterns in the metal on the door. This door is all metal, by the way. The other thing that you're able to kind of figure out is it looks like whatever struck it was small. Smaller than a boot.
Could mean like the butt of the back of the butt of a gun or something.
Maybe yeah. The back of a butt of a rifle, like around that size, mm-hmm. something like that. Sledgehammer, maybe. That's where your mind goes. Maybe some other kind of blunt instrument, something like that. But smaller than a boot.
Right.
And that physically would make sense. Get like the material of the door, right? Like, is this a steel door? Like
it. The more that you guys kind of analyze this and also maybe running into this before on B&E's, stuff like that, a door like this would take a little bit to knock down. But a single person could do it if they had determination and the skills. Maybe they got to pry in certain parts in order to leverage it in a certain way. But it is doable. Very hard, but doable. And the more that you guys sit here and analyze it, maybe you guys spend about 5 minutes looking at this exactly. Whoever did this knew how to do this. You know what I mean? Not like this specific door, but this wasn't someone walking up with a fucking sledgehammer and just bashing it, and that's it.
Right.
What is Jerry doing?
I figured I was just with everybody watching this, or seeing, like, what's going on. It's got RJ written all over it, I feel like.
RJ or Dan Winters.
Yeah, I mean, why would RJ need the coffin?
I agree. It would make more sense that it would be Minneapolis after this versus RJ. If RJ wanted it, he would just pop in and pop out with this thing.
Yeah, and does that timeline even make sense? I mean, how long ago did we lose RJ? This lock seems like it was what? No. No, it could fit in the timeline.
It could.
The only thing about the Wednesday swap notes is when that note was placed in Bobby's car, we didn't even know the coffin existed.
Right. But there was intention behind it to spread us thin on this day. Yesterday.
Roy and Caleb, roll sanity.
89 on a 39.
3 on a 34.
Caleb, you're fine. Roy, why would it be Wednesday? How could they possibly know that this coffin would be here on Wednesday if this is in line? That does not sit right with you. You're going to lose 1 point of sanity.
I mean, either way, what do we...
Well, we discovered this. We're the officers that discovered this. We got to get another officer to report this. Or a officer to report this. It's just that we don't have time.
Did we file that it was here? Is it on the books that we left a coffin in here? Joey.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to look more suspicious if we do write it down. I mean, I think we have one plan today.
Yeah, that's fair. I toss Jerry the keys of the white van. Like, pop that bitch open.
I mean, we can load this thing full of rifles, but we bring more men on this?
Lang's watching the LaRocca boy. The only other one I trust is Gaines. Nate had some nice words. We also don't want to spread ourselves thin. We could get Gaines on standby, just ready to go if we need him.
Yeah.
All right. So we're loading some guns up, right?
Yep.
Can I walk back inside?
To the station?
Yeah.
Yeah, stepping into the station. And I want to make it clear, people are milling about. Like, you might get someone, like, brushing against your shoulder, and investigative is doing their investigative stuff, patrol's doing their patrol stuff, but you step in.
Would I think that I could find the file that Ray was talking about on the report of going to this house? Would I be able to find it fairly quickly?
Report of going to which house? Oh, the eviction?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty easy enough to search that, find Ray's badge number, find that report.
Just skim it through quickly. Any names?
Nothing sticks out. Nothing sticks out. As weird.
Okay. Yeah. And file it away.
Jerry. Keys in your hand, what are you doing?
Opening. Is it like a work van?
Yeah. So it's an extended cab. It's an extended cab. So you open up the back doors and they kind of shutter open. You got to put like those little stick things out to keep the doors open.
Some weapons, full loadouts, mm-hmm. and start.
You actually open up the back of this van and you see that there's already like a decent amount of tools in here, like tool sets, electrical screwdrivers, different kinds of hammers, sledgehammers, bolt cutters are in here, and like angle grinders and stuff like that.
Okay, keep that in there. Start loading weapons in here.
All right, what do you load in specifically?
Well, we're going to have, five guys?
Yeah. Burgers and fries?
Definitely four.
So,
and Gaines on standby.
Yeah, I want to do like 3 rifles, 2 shotguns, full ammo boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody's already got a pistol, but I'll grab a couple extras.
Sure.
Do we have, like, smokes and flashes or anything?
No
like
smokes,
that?
No flashes. You do have body armor, which has...
Take all armors.
I'm very, very surprised that at no point during that Aseo business anyone asked for a bulletproof vest, which you have.
5 armor vests.
We didn't fucking need it.
Yeah.
I guess you guys didn't need it.
Glow sticks.
Glow sticks, of course.
We got glow sticks.
Fuck yeah.
It's 2 p.m. in the middle of the day. Glow sticks.
I guess that's it, unless we have anything else that I don't know about that I might need.
Yeah, that's fair. Body armor.
To be clear, so that everyone's on the same page about this body armor, it is a bulletproof vest. It covers basically like the top half of your torso. It's not thin enough to wear under your clothes. It has to be put over your clothes.
Okay.
Will it protect you from a bullet shot? Maybe not. These seem more like stab vests. But you have them nonetheless, just to make sure that that's established.
Mm.
Can I put it on and put it like a
jacket? You can put a heavy jacket over it, yes.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. Yeah.
Can I gather some, caps, sunglasses, things if we are going to be tailing?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a bin, like lost and found, of just like a bunch of shit.
And I'm sure we have it, I guess, right there is the same kind of surveillance gear that we grabbed for Aseo.
So, talking about the recording equipment?
I was thinking more like binoculars, stuff like that.
Yes, yeah. Binoculars are there. Do you want to take the tape recorder?
We can grab it, yeah.
Sure.
So, it's a plain white van, right? This isn't like a Richard Nixon, like, fucking, like...
No, it's not
commercial
like...
Commercial van.
No, no. It's a plain gray. It's like a light gray color. But the plates are civilian, so...
Okay.
But it's an extended cab... There are the 2 doors on the back and 1 door on the right side that slides open. The left side is just a straight wall.
Okay.
2 seats on the front, passenger driver.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable with what
I'm ready to
got.
I'll drive.
Sweet. All right.
Where are you heading?
The fucking...
Are you?
Huh?
You gonna say anything to him?
McAllister or Gaines? Or someone else?
Lieutenant.
That fucker. That
fuck no,
Chain of Command? What are you talking about?
Lulu.
I spoke with him a little bit this morning, but before that, he said anything pertaining to RJ he does not want to know about. And if he is willing to burn a photo of the chief of police, I don't imagine he's going to want to know that we are highly investigating his right-hand man.
Good point.
Yeah, fair enough.
We should call McAllister, though, let him know we're on our way.
Yeah. Yeah, I walk over to my desk real quick and pick the phone up and try and ring McAllister.
Mm-hmm. Bring, bring, bring. Mike. Hello? Hello?
Okay. Hey, Mike.
What's up, bitch?
I know I'm so paranoid about the recording shit, because now I'm at the station. Whatever. I know. I fucking hang the phone up. Fuck it.
Yeah.
He said, well, he'll see us there. We're going to see him there. Fuck it.
He said to call us when we're going.
Did he?
I think so, right?
He did.
Yeah. Fuck. All right. On the way, we'll stop at a gas station.
You just sketched him the fuck out. He's probably sitting there just anxious as fuck waiting, and you just called him, hey, Mike. Hello? Hello? And Shank
off. I know what you did last summer. He's like, Mike. And he all hears.
Fuck.
Like a little bit of chewing, like.
All right. So, to establish, we have 3 rifles, 2 shotguns, glow sticks, 5 bulletproof vests, ammo, clothes, tape recorder, tools, and binoculars. Anything I'm missing?
No.
Did you say glow sticks?
He did.
I did.
All right.
Did either of you talk to Gaines? Just tell him to be by the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry, can you run and tell Gaines that he's got to be on standby?
I'm zooming in there.
Gaines looks up as you exit the garage.
Hey, just stay near a phone, all right, in case we need you.
Yeah, call reception.
All right, got you. Run back.
Is there a radio in this van?
No.
Can we bring a radio? Is that a thing?
Absolutely. You can take a radio out of a squad car and put it in this van.
Is there a way that I could just... Is there like a little switch I could just turn it off and on? Like, if we're trying to...
You would have to unplug it from the car. So the car has, like, a weird port on the side in, like, police vehicles that you can kind of plug it into the main battery for the car.
Yeah, I'll grab it out of my own squad car. I'll grab the radio.
Yep.
Yeah.
We got unlucky on walkie-talkies, right? We got unlucky.
How much different would this campaign be with walkie-talkies?
We would have been done in, what, September?
But no glow sticks?
That's true. That's true.
We would have been fucked without glow sticks.
Crazy. All
right, yeah. I'm ready.
I hear that engine purr.
It's a cold start, dude. It's freezing out.
I let this motherfucker warm up a little bit. I put on the radio, jam a little bit. It's warm. All right, let's go.
Where are you guys heading?
To the address.
Yeah. We're not going to pick up our buddy?
Oh, yeah. I guess we got to get Ray, huh? I go to Ray's house.
Mm-hmm. En route to Ray's house. Ray, you're sitting there, and by the way, the 3 of you guys, when you guys made it to the station, Aaron Lang was nowhere to be seen. Aaron Lang shows up to your trailer maybe about like 10-15 minutes after that phone call. He opens the door. Is the door locked?
No, I would have been waiting for him to come, and as soon as I see him pull up, I would just unlock the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he makes his way out of his squad car. Up to the door, opens the door, walks in. Ray?
It's good to see you, Lang. Alright, we're gonna go down the street. It's, shit, sorry. 250? Is that what he said? 250? 250 No Name Street. The abandoned house down there, the eviction from a couple years ago.
Okay. What for?
One of these top brass from Minneapolis is coming down to meet that guy, McAllister, the
journalist?
Yeah, the reporter that's been getting our crumbs at the station.
All right. What are you guys planning? What are you guys going to do?
Respond when the time is right. I just need you to stay here and keep an eye on the rock, all right?
All right. I'm going to...
Keep him alive. He's not looking too good. Listen, I'm going to give you... I'll give you the reins on this one. If we'd prefer him alive. If there's anything you need to do to keep him alive, maybe do that. But we really didn't want to take him to a hospital. We didn't want to have to get him in the system where anyone could know where he is. It's probably the more important thing right now, but...
All right, I just made a roll. Do you mean that? Does Ray mean that? Keep him alive, if possible?
Yeah.
Yeah?
But he then conveys at the end, but ultimately, I don't want you leaking out his name to people that don't need to know it. Only if you think it's okay.
I got it. I'm going to bring my radio from my squad car into here. If you guys need me, I can be there in like 10 minutes. Just radio.
Bring him if we need you.
Gotcha.
Because if we need you, it's going down.
Okay. He steps back outside and goes into the passenger side of the squad car.
Whenever he comes back in.
Yeah, he comes back in with the radio.
Or I guess before, if they pull up, before I leave.
No, not yet. They were there for quite some time, so.
Okay. Well, there's nothing else I really want to talk to him about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sets up the radio and looks towards you and says, "So, how is he doing, LaRocca?"
We beat him pretty good. Not enough to kill him. I just think his morale is kind of low. He knows he's kind of in a shitty place, so that ain't helping him out. We had no luck talking to him, trying to get anything out of him. He seemed a little spooked. Something was up more than just him being a little, concussed or whatever you want to call it.
Do you think it's something weird? Like RJ weird?
I mean, I don't want to rule it off the table, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't think we really saw enough of it to get a good call, but listen, if you could figure out any kind of way to appeal to this kid, to get him to tell you anything.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do.
Hey, we couldn't do anything either, so it's alright if you can't.
Hey, listen. Ray, if you don't want to talk about this, that's fine. And just don't say anything if you don't want to, but this seems a little personal to you.
What does?
The kid.
This guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little.
Is it a case, or?
Yeah, an old one.
Alright.
I don't think it's got anything to do with him, though. That's the shame of it.
Right.
He's just caught in the crossfire, that's all.
Gotcha. Listen, and I don't want to overstate myself, but if an opening comes up for a detective, Can I use you as a reference?
For this department?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why not.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And the rest of you pull up.
Honk, honk.
It's got a funny horn.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. I want to run out to the car, open up the back of the van, and pull out 20 or 30 extra rounds for the service pistol.
Right.
And run in and dump it on the kitchen table for Lang.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a wink.
Yep, and he gives you a nod.
And run back out. And I hop in.
All right. Where do you guys head? Jerry driving. Who's in the passenger?
Shotgun.
Roy.
I'm kind of just crouched in the back.
Yeah, well, there's like a couple, like, think about, like, airplane seats kind of bolted to either wall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You said we were hitting a gas station to talk to this, to call Mike back?
Yeah, first gas station we see. Let's pull over and give Mike a call.
Think about, do we want somebody in the house with him?
How are we going to swing that?
I don't know.
In another room, you mean?
Yeah, I guess hide behind something. I mean, what's he going to say when we tell him going alone? He was already nervous about... I mean, we don't have visual on it. Somebody can pull a gun any second.
If we have somebody in there, that means that there is a chance that we could completely blow our cover.
Yeah.
We won't be able to tail them.
Just a thought.
To throw it out there, roughly an hour and 15 minutes until reasonably, if this Doug Caliburn left when he said he left, would arrive.
I know what you mean, though. It's dangerous for Mike otherwise.
I mean, I don't know if we're on the same page. You've been dancing around it, but if we all think there's one thing that matters here, is that just getting this guy's tail? Is that the one and only priority?
What are you suggesting?
That... I don't know this guy from Adam, and met him 3 days ago. Nothing but trouble on our end. Anybody have strong feelings about what happens to him?
We have a liability. We have put our trust in a liability. Look, this guy... No one should die in that house. Or in this van, for that matter. But I would not be telling the truth if I were to say that I would be just as upset if I had lost April versus if I had lost Mike McAllister. He's a liability.
I think if anything, they'll just kidnap him.
I hope so.
And if they kill him, well, he didn't have to agree to do it.
Yeah. we could position Mike in the most effective way with like window, where we can look through windows and have rifles pointed through windows. And
I feel like they already got this house cased.
Oh yeah.
And it doesn't matter how we pull up to it. They got the upper hand. I think our game plan is watching the outside. We know who goes in, watch who comes out.
Cross our fingers that he bites on the cabin.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah.
Did y'all call? Y'all call Mike yet? Did you call him?
Nah, once we pull up, once we find a gas station.
Alright, yeah, let's we'll find that, plus we'll find a spot to scope it out at. We want to tell Mike to meet us somewhere after the call. Alright.
Yeah.
So where are you guys heading?
Gas station.
The closest gas station is actually past the house, so if you guys want to do any preliminary surveillance on the house, give me a heads up, or are you guys just driving right past to go to a gas station?
Let's take a look at the house and then hit the gas station, call him up. We have a lot of time before this guy gets there, right?
Yeah, about an hour. Another hour. Hour, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
And would we know, like, I guess what you're saying, like a general landmark where we could tell him to meet up with us instead of just going straight to the house?
Yeah, that isn't the spot we're looking at the house at. Like, yeah. Far away from the house.
Yeah.
Between the house and this gas station is a mile marker that pulls off to a utility road.
Yeah.
That's probably the closest thing.
Okay.
Take note of that mile marker.
Sure. Mile marker 420.
0.69.
Mm-hmm. So are you guys looking at the house or going straight to the gas station?
Checking the house real quick.
So... very, very simple. I mean, honestly, if you take a preliminary glance, other than Ray, who has been here prior to serve an eviction, it looks like a shack. Ray, you may have some memories dealing with this particular eviction and the case surrounding it about this jewelry theft. It has several rooms. There's a front door opens up into a living room, leads into the back. There's a bedroom with an adjoining bathroom. In that living room, if you make a right instead, it leads to a kitchen that was fairly well stocked when you saw it prior, and a dining room that's adjoined to it, and an additional bathroom there. There's also a basement. The basement has access near the dining room. There's a door that leads straight down. And the basement is fairly spacious. That's actually originally where you found this... or you and maybe whoever was working the case with you, some officers found this cache of stolen jewelry to kind of link it to these thefts across the area. Windows as well. The front door is centralized right in the center of this front-facing wall. Windows on the left and right. The left window sees completely into the living room. The right window sees completely into the dining room. Passing it now at this point, you can see it's in some... stages of dilapidation, not excessive. There's no like siding falling off or anything like that, but there's a big orange plastered signage that reads, you know, property of Linwood Bank.
How big are the windows?
The windows are large. They're like bay windows, separated into three sections on either side.
Nice. Okay.
They extend outward, so it is like one pane on like a 45 degree angle and then a straight 180 angle on the front pane and then another angled pane on the right side.
Okay. No cars in the driveway or anything?
No. Everybody roll alertness.
Fifteen on a 69. 86 on a 68. 48 on a 61. 92 on a 77.
Roy and Jerry, you guys both notice, and everybody notices, that this house is separated from a lot. So it is heavily, heavily wooded, much in the same way that Ray's trailer is. Private driveway that doesn't extend down too far. However, what Jerry and Roy notice, no movement in the tree line at all. Even some areas that you're looking and you're like, damn, that would be a good spot to hide. Nothing. No cars, obviously. No foot traffic at all that you've noticed up to this point. It seems like nobody is around in very obvious spots.
Okay. No tire tracks or... Because it's with the snow on the ground. No.
Do you stop and get out?
I would like to... imagine that, like, we're just going very slow.
Okay, roll search and add 20 to whatever you roll.
All right. On a 61. So it's not 20.
No tire tracks.
Okay.
That's not a nat 20. Don't be talking about no nat 20s yet. We can't get there yet.
It's natural. It's completely natural.
It was really natural, though.
Yeah. All right. We have no reason to go in the house.
No.
So let's hit that gas station.
To the gas station. Make your way up. It's a simple gas station, not like a chain one. Maybe some of you guys have been here before. Ray, you've probably definitely been here before to fuel up your truck. Only two pumps outside, forward facing, not on like an angle perpendicular with the store itself. There is a payphone outside.
We're not in uniform anymore, are we?
It's up to you guys. I don't imagine that anyone's in uniform. The only person that I assume might sometimes be in quote-unquote uniform is Ray, just because sometimes he does wear his uniform. But you guys are, like, detective uniform is street clothes.
Okay.
So, and I imagine at this point, Ray, with everything that's going on, you're not wearing, like, a Linwood police force uniform.
Correct.
Yeah.
Caleb, you want to go fix my fumble on that payphone?
Yeah. Walk up, look around.
Roll search.
69 on a 50.
You don't think anyone's looking at you?
All right. Spin in the number.
Spin in.
Well, mm-hmm. It would be dial.
It's a keypad.
Had a payphone, it's a keypad. Bring, bring, bring. Mike.
McAllister.
Yes.
Yeah. Ready. You able to meet us?
Yeah. Did you guys call me earlier?
Yeah. Yeah. We're not trusting lines.
Jesus fucking
Sorry.
Christ.
Sorry. I know.
Okay. All right. What was that address again? No Name Street?
Yeah. 320, but we're not meeting there. 350. 250. we're not meeting there. A little bit down the road. Mile marker 420. 0.69. Yeah, just meet over. Meet there. Pull over. I mean, you know how long it takes to get from Minneapolis.
Yeah. Should I bring all my stuff? My typewriter, tape recorder, all that stuff?
What would you bring to a normal interview? A normal interview.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bring that. Tape recorder, notepad.
Calm yourself down on the ride.
Okay.
I just hang up the phone.
Click. Back to the van?
Yeah.
Caleb O'Connor enters the van.
How'd it go?
Good. He's gonna meet us.
And drive to the meetup spot.
To the 420.69 mile marker. 420.69
mile marker.
Make your way there.
Making my way there. Downtown, walking, driving fast.
Making my way.
About 15 minutes pass. At this point, you guys are looking at about 45 minutes until an arrival time that is to be estimated. And you see a car pull up that you recognize as Mike McAllister's car. Okay. Pulls in directly next to you guys. You guys see whoever's in the front seats can see Mike McAllister and alone by himself in the driver's side. Looks over at you guys and rolls down the window.
I roll the window down and I just stick my hand out and I'm like, actually I'm like this, like, come in.
Okay. He opens the car door, closes it, steps towards the side of the sliding door to enter the van.
Yeah, unlock it for him.
Mm-hmm. And he slides it open with this steps in, closes it. Closes, crouched down in the back of the bed, looks at the two people in the back seat being Ray and Caleb. So, what's the plan?
I mean, if you want to try to start it out like a normal interview, you can, but you heard him on the phone. I think he wants one thing.
Yeah.
And that's RJ. And you can tell him, what did I say? Can I have had the case report? Or know it, at least? Give him the rundown of the case, the RJ case report.
Which one are you talking about?
The one, the carjacking report.
Okay, yeah.
Say you saw the description, you saw the news conference. It seemed like it was somebody matching RJ's description.
He asks how I get this information. What do I say?
You know a guy, a regular, non-detective.
Okay.
Inside, right?
Right.
Then you want to know where it's going. Maybe you're a little bit confused. You're, hey, give me an answer on this, or...
How do I know that RJ has anything to do with him?
Because you're wondering where this is going, tied back to the Minneapolis incident that just happened. Everything that's going on.
Does that have something to do with RJ?
Say that you got a tip from, I don't know, somebody at a gas station. Says they saw somebody that looked like this too. Right?
Okay.
They saw the RJ guy. They got a tip off. So you knew that he was in Minneapolis around the area. You knew something had happened. So you just want somebody on Minneapolis' side because you can't get to the Linwood VCU detectives.
Okay, I mentioned that La Rocca stuff. What if that comes up?
Say that that was all the Minneapolis incident. You heard about that. You heard rumblings that they were there, that they were involved in some altercation, but you really don't know. And then say that the detectives, the lady, got carjacked, rumblings about a cabin.
Okay.
Some cabin.
All right. So if it comes down to it, I shouldn't tie RJ and that, the whatever cabin or La Rocca or any of that stuff to your actual case?
Is there a way that it would? Logically?
That might put him in some danger. Right? Lieutenant burned that photo for a reason. Because that was connecting RJ and Bay Street to Dan Winters.
Yeah. I think that's the way you play it. Like, you're not sure. You're trying to fit these puzzle pieces together that might be from the same puzzle.
Okay.
You don't know. You don't have the full picture.
All right. So that place that we're meeting, have you guys taken a look at that?
Yeah, we cased it.
What does it look like?
It's just a normal one-story house. There's a basement. Served an eviction there 2 years ago or so.
Okay.
It's not run down or anything, but I don't know if we're going to have angles everywhere in the house, but we should be able to have you covered on the entire perimeter.
Okay. Someone's going to be inside with me?
No, I don't think we're going to be able to get on the inside. This guy, he rattled that address off to you, right? On the phone?
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, he's been here before. They've been here before. I wouldn't risk going in that house to case it. Us for you? Unless we had at least 12 hours beforehand to really do a full sweep, make sure we were clear.
Oh, come on.
We're going to have 4 rifles pointed through that living room window.
And that's where I set up maybe 2 chairs.
Everything.
His back to the window.
Yeah. His okay. back to the window or where we can see you and him. Just make yourself comfortable as long as we get a sight on him. Through okay. that window.
Well, I mean, look, I don't want to assume anything, but I mean, what if he says something useful? Right? Sure, okay. let's put myself in your shoes. Right, okay. He leaves. I go out of there. You guys say you want a tail. You tail him. And then eventually we reconnect and I tell you he said blah, 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 blah. I got no proof of it. You want me running at the tape recorder in there? Because I can, but that might scare him off.
Would you run a recorder in a normal interview or would you maybe ask up
front? I would ask permission.
Yeah, I mean...
How big are the tape recorders you got?
About the size of a VHS, which don't exist yet in 1971.
You got a big coat?
I'm not going to break the law like that. I can't use it in my article if he doesn't give express permission.
He's not going to give you permission.
Bring somebody in. Stash somebody in a coat closet. Please.
Do we have... We just have one radio?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean,
if we do that, we might get split up. That's the problem. Whoever goes inside should be prepared to get split up.
And I mean... I don't know about the rest of you guys, but... What he's going to say to Mike in there... Are we planning on using that in a case, or if this goes how we're planning for it to go, we're going to have a lot more?
That's what I'm thinking.
This guy won't mean shit.
We're just looking for some breadcrumbs. We don't need the hard evidence.
Yeah.
I don't want to go in unless someone's in there with me. I don't feel safe. He seems panicked, almost.
Thing about it is, somebody's in there. It's not like they're gonna have a line of sight on you. They're gonna be, like you said, coat closet, another room. Safest you can be is us outside looking through the windows.
Roll persuade.
$79 on an $80.
Oh shit! Oh shit!
All right, look, this whole thing is. I don't feel good about it. I don't feel safe. These people seem dangerous, and look, it's a good story. All right, I'm not gonna lie to you. It is a great story, but god damn, I don't want to die over this. I really don't want to die over this. I got shit to do. More stories to publish. But...
You're not dying, man.
If you say you guys are watching the windows, watching him, that's fine. That's okay. Alright.
Can I ask, that hour, what made you come back?
Couple things. First of all, I kind of realize that this is a huge story if I get exclusive rights. Second of all, and he looks at you and then cuts his gaze from you and looks towards Roy in the passenger seat. Gave me enough time to visit a gun shop.
Good. What you got?
Enough.
Good. All right. Look, I think if you're ready, you can get your car and you can make your way over there and wait.
Okay. You said living room. Where is that in the house?
Living room. I'm not sure if it was the living room. Ray, you might know, but it's wherever those three big panels were. Window panels. So.
Big window. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. shouldn't miss it. It's first floor.
Okay. I'll position two chairs. Do you want his back facing, looking out the window, or me looking out the window? His back to the window, or my back to the window?
Sorry, how wide is the window?
Each pane is probably about maybe 2.5 feet.
Okay. So in total, we'd have like 7.5. We have 7.5 foot view.
If you're angled correctly, yeah.
Okay. If we could get a side-by-side view, right, there should be enough room for that. But if you can't squeeze a side-by-side view in, where we can see both of you kind of next to each other, facing each other, then if we get his back, that's what we need.
Okay. All right.
If he points a gun at you secretively somehow or anything, just use your arms. Throw your hands up and some kind of gesture to show him I don't mean any harm, but also to identify, to let us know he's got something.
Is there any other kind of hand signals you guys want me to throw?
Yeah, how about like our last case scenario, like you really need us to come busting in there. I don't know, what do you want to do? Scratch your head or something? You tell me. Something that you won't do involuntarily.
Peace and love.
Alright.
And he throws up the deuces.
Okay, bro.
Okay. Alright. Exclusive rights. Nobody else, just me.
Exclusive rights.
Okay. He walks up, grabs the handle, opens the door, steps out, closes the door, goes into his car. You guys see him pull out.
It's good setup.
Let's right. Do it. Set on over.
Drive over. Is it a two-way street?
Yes.
Or one way.
It's a two-way street technically, but it's probably the length of like a lane and a half.
And we haven't seen any cars?
No.
I'm going to drive on the same, like over the same tire tracks.
When you pull in?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're pulling into
the...
I
try my best not to make... It's snowy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to try my best not to show any like... Like, I don't want it to seem like people are going back and forth.
Okay, Mike...
Not that it'll be a big deal, but...
You're pulling the van into the house?
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, all the way back.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what roll saying. Drive.
Yeah.
Fuck. 51 on a... 61 on a 53.
You have a feeling that you're doing a good enough job.
Okay.
I mean, I think what...
Where do you guys want to post up at?
It is a road.
Yeah, okay. Smartest thing is have... I don't know, 2-3 rifles on the window.
Are we getting out of this car?
I think somebody should, right? Or are we not even giving them that credit?
I'll get out.
Yeah, no, I want to get out.
In the case that he walks out and gets in his car and I start losing him and you guys aren't in the car, what am I doing? Am I going?
Well, I think...
Or am I waiting on you guys and trying to catch up?
I think what you do is, way he came in, which, would we know which way he's going to come in? Would we assume which way he's going to come in if he's coming from Minneapolis?
Yeah, probably the way that you guys are coming in.
Okay.
So it's, if the house is positioned on, like, say, the left side of the street, he's going to be coming from the right side of the street.
Okay. Then I guess position on the side so like he wouldn't drive past the van coming in.
So he'll be coming from north to south?
Yeah.
The house is on the west.
Yeah, so then south down that road, further south where he wouldn't be, but facing the van, facing where you could then drive north.
We're coming from the south, right?
Yeah. Like south of that
on
road.
On the road?
I'm not, unless there's a good place to keep it hidden.
I mean, you can pull off into, like, the woods, but that's... If you're to get out of that, like, in a rush, it would be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Somewhere where we wouldn't see the van coming up, but then you could pull out where you'd be driving the same direction he would pulling out. And I guess my thought was, who's ever out in the, who's ever out there with rifles, the van is within enough distance back that maybe you could give a signal, something, start the car going, so we could meet you where you could run, jump in the van, we could have his tail.
Alright.
Because now we're going to be up his ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Geographically, that would work.
Yeah. Okay,
cool. So we're just positioned in a way where we are already positioned the direction that they would be leaving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's kind of off into the shoulder, maybe up on like a little hill. So if you're to like get back on the road, you'd have to like back out and then follow up. If you're to go forward, you would maybe like come down on an elevation of maybe like 5 or 6 feet, which in a van would kind of be rough. But it's easy enough to like set up on like a hill that can kind of oversee far in the distance. The only way you would be able to actually see through this house, though, at what this point that I'm describing, would be binoculars or a rifle scope. Naked eyes at this vision, like at this distance, you wouldn't be able to have the vision on it. But yeah, so you're kind of parked up and over on like a raised elevation, looking down slightly on this house. And you can see in through the window from this point. If you want to leave in the car, you will have to reverse down back, maybe about like 10, 15 feet, and then get back on the main road.
I mean, are you guys gonna get out, have a vantage point at these windows, or we just all stay in the van?
I mean, I'll stay close to the van, but I want to get out, lay down, cover up a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe just a quick signal if you see that he's getting ready to pack up.
Yeah, if Mike gives me the peace sign, I'll give you all the peace sign, and so you know we're heading in. I don't know. Maybe I'll give a little ignition thing. I'll turn my wrist if he's ready to go.
Yeah.
So, with about 30 minutes until arrival, where is everybody stationed? Walk me through it so I know in my head.
I'm still in the car, engine off, just like watching Ray for the ignition symbol.
And where's Ray?
I basically want to get as far away from the car as I can.
It's while you're trekking through snow.
Oh keep, yeah, keep while this in while staying in the same general like spot, if you will. You know what
line
I mean?
Line of sight.
Yeah, like that angle is still generally the same.
Okay.
So, you know, perhaps if I think I can get a little closer without sacrificing any bit of security, or if I can go either just left or right and get either a better angle or just a different angle.
Okay.
See All right. more of the inside of the house, perhaps?
Yeah, you're probably maybe about like 30 yards, I want to say, down, because where he is parked, it rises in elevation, so you might have to step up in elevation, and you're getting some distance to get a better angle, but you're not sacrificing the viewpoint of Jerry.
Cool.
Can I kind of do the same thing but mirrored in a way where I still want the same viewpoint of the house, but kind of other side of the van if possible? I know it's a little bit further downhill. If that makes sense.
No, that view is going to be obfuscated. If you pass behind where the van is, mm-hmm. you're getting farther away from the house and being able to see less of it. You would have to cross the street if you want a different viewpoint.
I'm not doing that. So,
because you guys are south.
Right.
Head north to the left. That's where the house is.
Yeah, so, the head of the van is north. The house is west.
Yes.
Ray is more north.
Yes.
What is east possible? Like, does that go a little uphill? Or is that just...
No, that goes... It's pretty, like, level.
Okay. I'll... Fuck.
You can cross the street to get what you're describing, but it's crossing the street. It's pretty far.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
So the van is facing north, so that means that the door is not facing the house. It's facing the other side.
Correct.
Is there a window on the other on the west side of the van?
No.
Okay.
Like the driver's side door or window?
No.
The driver's side, the driver seat has a window, but back in the cab, no.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't want to get in Jerry's seat. Can I go like halfway between Ray and the van?
Yeah, okay. That's easy enough.
Because he's like 30 yards from the van?
Yeah. Okay. Go like 15, 10.
Yeah.
Easy enough. Okay. And you Ray, to make it clear, you have the best view of that window. And as you're sitting there watching, you got a rifle with you?
Yeah.
Looking through the scope?
Yes.
Yeah, you can see Mike McAllister's car out front. Mike McAllister pulls up two seats. You just kind of watch him kind of pull up two chairs.
Inside?
Yes.
Okay, he's already inside.
Seems like it, yes.
Okay.
Nice.
Ray, you're about 10 yards up. Your view isn't as great as Ray's, but you can see Mike's car, and you can see into the window there.
Okay.
But you can only see one chair.
Okay, that's fair. Whose chair? Or which, is Mike sitting down yet?
The farthest one. Mike is not sitting down.
Okay.
Caleb?
Taking that passenger seat. Actually, no, probably not taking the passenger seat. Probably in that,
The back cab?
Yeah, the back cab, but I could still see out the windshield.
Yeah.
Get binoculars, see if I can, just keep a perimeter.
With binoculars, you can see Ray, Roy, and basically, like, from 0 degrees over to 90 degrees.
Can I see the front door of the house?
If you get in the passenger seat, yes. Not in the back cab.
Okay, yeah. I want to get in the passenger seat. Keep an eye on that front door of the house in case anybody...
Yeah, you can see the front door. Not only the front door, but, like, the front lawn.
Yep, yeah. Keep an eye on that front lawn.
Okay. And Jerry, sitting in the passenger seat, are you looking at anything in particular? Or you're sitting in the driver's seat, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if I could see the house, I'm looking at the house, but, like, for the most part, I'm just looking for a signal. Ready to be a getaway driver.
Gotcha. And you have a clear view of Roy and Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roy, you see that chair get pulled up. You don't see Mike come into view at all. Ray, you see both those chairs get pulled up. Looks like they're probably about like 5, maybe 6 feet across from each other. Mike McAllister sits in the leftmost seat. Roy, you do not see Mike McAllister.
Okay.
I want to say it like a normal volume. I got eyes on Mike, and I want to see if, like, does Ray respond to me? Like, at a pretty normal volume outside.
Well, you're Ray.
Fuck! Roy.
Like, Roy, you can hear that, for sure.
Okay.
That's okay. What are we on, session?
Fuck.
56.
No, that it just happened now? That was the first time?
No, it's happened like one more time before that, too, for sure.
56.
And, like, I felt like I was talking at basically an inside volume. It's just that there's kind of not a lot of noise going on with the snow.
Especially with the snow, it insulates the sound.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like... Gotcha, yeah. I see where Doug's going to sit. Also in a normal voice. I see where Doug's going to sit with my rifle. Don't see Mike from this view. So that's you.
All right. I'll be your eyes.
All right.
20 minutes until impact. Anybody say anything or do anything?
There wouldn't be a way to track if, like, we had the radio on, right? Like, there wouldn't be, like, a scanner for that, right?
For Minneapolis frequencies?
To see if we had a radio, like, in their vicinity. That's not a thing, right?
I'm confused.
Like, should I have this... If I have this radio turned on, would there be any way for them to tell, like, they drive by and they have interference on their radio and they'd be like, oh, shit, there's another radio in...
Not unless... Only if you talk range. On it. If you don't talk on it, no.
Oh, okay. All right. Then, yeah, leaving the radio on.
Yeah. Ten minutes. Seven. Five. Roy and Ray, I need you guys to both roll a constitution check across your times five.
One on a 50.
Whoa. Zoinks.
10 on a 75.
Yeah. The cold bites, but you bite back. Unfazed by the freezing, freezing cold temperatures. Well insulated. I imagine you guys both got gloves on. Have to, for sure,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
5 minutes. 3 minutes. 0 minutes. Negative 5 minutes. 10 minutes passed. What would have reasonably been a decent amount of time to get here from Minneapolis. You guys see headlights in the distance. And to be clear, everybody here who has been looking, no cars have gone to or from either direction at all. Mike McAllister, who Roy can see, sitting in the chair, twiddling with his thumbs a little bit, flipping through a notepad. You guys see lights in the distance. Pulling up down from north to south, you see a squad car. At this distance, unless you guys are actively looking, unable to make any kind of marks or designation or anything like that, it pulls back, not straight into the driveway, maybe about 50 yards up the street. And behind it, another one. Pulls in behind it, maybe about 50 yards off from where this entrance is. Anything you guys are doing?
If I aim my rifle at the cars.
Minneapolis. PD.
Figures. Fair.
Out of the first car, you see three figures exit.
Fuck, dude.
Out of the second car, you see two figures exit. The five seem like they convalesce at a point and start to talk to each other. One gets in the first car. One gets in the second car. One steps up, maybe about 30, 20, 15 yards away from the driveway. One scampers off into the woods forward. So across from you guys, heading westward.
Can I keep eyes on this?
You're trained on this person?
Yes.
Okay. The last one starts walking. 40 yards, 30 yards, 25. Turns the corner, walks through the snow up to the front door, knocks on the front door. Roy, what are you looking at? Ray, what are you looking at? Caleb, you are trained on somebody out in the woods. Jerry, what are you looking at?
Am I able to see the front door?
If you want to, yeah.
Just the front door.
Front door.
I'm locked on Mike.
Caleb, you're watching that guy in the woods. You see him crawl behind a rock, lay prone on his belly on top of this rock. At this distance, roll search.
26 on a 50.
He has a bolt action rifle in his hands trained on the front door.
Okay, it doesn't look like he's moving, trying to scan the woods for others.
No, it looks like he hasn't looked in your direction or anywhere else.
Does it seem like anybody, because I've seen the whole scene a little bit when they got out of the cars, are they like protecting or are they scanning to see if Mike brought anybody?
Roll human intelligence.
75 on a 53.
Tough to tell, but you haven't seen anyone look your way.
Okay.
This figure steps up to the front door, knocks a couple times. Ray, you see Mike McAllister his mouth moves, and then the door opens, and the figure steps inside. A few moments pass before the figure sits in the chair across from Mike McAllister. The two seem like they're talking. Difficult to tell what is said, obviously, from this distance. All the other four figures are unmoving. The two in the car, the one who's halfway between this house and those squad cars, and the one hidden in the woods. The two talk for maybe a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Neither look animated. If anyone has any questions about, well, I guess it would only be Ray who's kind of looking at this. Roy, okay. are you changing your vision or anything like that?
Yeah, like I was kind of, I said front door, but that's only because the figure was at the front door. Like, yeah. I'd like to stay focused on that figure.
And okay, yeah, and that figure is the one, the chair that you can see now.
Okay, am I able to put a face to a name or, you know, match his face? Because I've seen this guy.
Yeah, you have seen this guy. This man was at the press conference and you also saw him come out of the back with Dan Winters.
Okay.
And you also recognize this guy.
Okay.
Anyone else doing anything different?
I kind of want to focus on Mike's, like, hand and body expressions.
Roll human intelligence.
More than the face. Can't see much. 58 on a 78.
They've only been talking for a few minutes, but Mike seems calm.
Okay.
Another minute passes as they talk back and forth. Both seem to be taking up equal space of the conversation.
Can I point my rifle at the guy in between?
Yeah.
See if I could find him or what he's doing?
Yeah, it looks like he's actively looking towards the house. More the road than the house.
Is he like standing in the middle of the street?
Crouched.
Crouched. Like next to the road?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And roll alertness.
73 on a 67.
His hands are not at his side.
Okay.
Another minute passes. Roy, after you look at that guy, do you go anywhere else in your scope view?
Yeah, I'd go back to the window.
Back to the window. Ray, Roy, the figure sitting across from Mike McAllister, waves his hand real quick. Down from his waist, up and back down to his waist. Mike McAllister stands up, reaches in his jacket pocket, pulls out his gun, and you can see clearly a pistol in Mike McAllister's hand. Flat palm, hands it to him. The figure grabs it, puts it in his pocket. Mike McAllister sits back down.
I point the guns at the other guys to see what they're doing.
Completely the same as what you saw prior.
Okay.
The two continue to talk. The figure across from Mike McAllister reaches down to his waistband, unzips his pants, pulls out his erect penis. You guys see, Ray and Roy, if you are looking, this man has his penis in his hands. Looks towards Mike McAllister. Says something. Mike stands up. Walks over. Gets on his knees. And kisses the man's penis.
Fuck?
What's Mike's face look like, dude?
Calm. Completely calm. And that's where we're gonna pick up next session.
What the fuck?
Dude, I thought you were joking for a second.
Why is that the darkest thing that's happened?
What the fuck?
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production.